Yo, Dark Horse Live episode 105. All right, everybody, sorry we missed you last week. YouTube put us in jail. We got official strike from YouTube, which I am not happy about. What the fuck can you do? It was the top 10 strains video that we put out. Top 10 Dark Horse strains, where I talked about 10 strains that I liked in my portfolio and said they were my top 10. And apparently YouTube got super pissed by that and gave us a strike. So they kicked us off YouTube for a whole week. So I don't know. We're back. We should be back on YouTube. Looks like we're back on YouTube. So yeah, I don't know. That was weird. Fuck YouTube. I'm starting to get annoyed with all of the cannabis censorship. But what are you going to do? All right. So also real quick, I have a new Instagram. Not really new. My old Instagram is now newly activated again. Although I didn't get my old Instagram followers back. Apparently, like, after a year or two, if they kick you off Instagram, your name is available to be used again. So I just randomly searched and I could make my name again. So Dark Horse Genetics, no spaces, is now probably the main account. So go follow Dark Horse Genetics, no spaces. You're going to start all over again. I think we have like 500 followers. But give Dark Horse Genetics on Instagram a follow. I'm probably going to make that the main page because all of our old stickers and merch and everything weird used to have that like Dark Horse Instagram whatever page. And ironically, we have it back again. So starting over from the beginning, took us 8 years to build that, but we'll start back over. All right, tonight on the show, thanks for all the subs, people. Tonight on the show, we're going to have Dungeon Vault Genetics. So without further ado, I think we'll do free shit towards the end. Without further ado, let's just get right to Dungeon Vault Genetics and hear what he's got to say. All right, everybody, we are here with Dungeon Vault Genetics. Thanks for coming on the show, man. I really appreciate it. We probably should have had you on in the first 100. I'm kind of surprised it took us this long to get you on here, but thanks for coming on the show, man.
Right on. Thanks for having me, bro.
Absolutely. So kind of what we do on the program is always ask people to start at the very beginning. Can you take us back to the very first time that you were introduced to cannabis, maybe smoked it, or how did cannabis enter your life?
So back, when was that? I'd say probably 95, maybe a little bit before that, probably 1995, maybe 94. But I had a neighbor a little bit older than me, and he had been smoking, and he had good weed back then. You know, a lot of people back where I was from had, you know, we had a lot of compressed Mexi. So that was some of the first stuff I saw. But then this guy pops up and he's got, you know, the stuff you were seeing in High Times magazines back then, you know, good green buds and purple every now and then. But I don't remember any names specifically that he had for it, but just good green bud in general was hard to come by back when I was a youngster.
Where were you located, if you don't mind me asking? East Coast, West Coast?
Sacramento.
West Coast.
Yeah, Sacramento, California.
How would you describe yourself as a kid? Were you like a brat? Were you a fucking jock, surfer kid, some sort of like surfer?
You know, I kind of fit in. You know, I wasn't much of a skater. I kind of just fit in with everybody. I did play sports. So, I mean, people would consider me a jock, but at the same time, I was the stoner. So, like, big time stoner. So, I was hanging out with the guys that were ditching school and, you know, the skaters and the people that were the outsiders, you know, but then I'd be going to soccer practice at the end of the day, just baked out of my mind.
So did cannabis change your life dramatically from the start, or was it just sort of something that you had around in your life early on?
I feel like it was probably, I mean, it didn't, well, I guess it changed my life dramatically as a kid because I wasn't supposed to be smoking it. So once I got really caught up in it and my parents realized how much I was really involved in it, they sent my ass away to those bad kid camps. So I'd say it definitely dramatically changed my life. Yeah. For the worse at the time.
What is bad kid camp? I'm just curious. Is it like they send off for like a weekend to like go outdoors and some of those outward bound programs where they're like, we're going to go build a canoe or a forest fire together and shit.
Yeah, bro. It was more like 2.5 months in the Utah wilderness.
Was it cool or was it like, what the fuck am I doing out here? I still want to smoke weed.
Yeah, no, it was, I mean, it was, I got sober, obviously. There was no weed. There was no way you could smoke. We were under like adult supervision the entire time. And we were literally hiking 10 miles a day in the snow in the middle of the fucking winter. And I don't even know how this shit was legal, but they were allowed to put you in, like, not chokeholds, but, like, pressure point positions that, like, cops use if you wouldn't keep hiking or if you'd cuss or do certain things. And they were, it was all ran by the Mormons. So it was just horrible. Like, I knew what was going on, but other people were, like, these parents thought they're sending their kids off to, like, some, you know, rehab type thing. And it's like, no, you're literally making me, like, hate you more by being here.
Totally. So how did you get into growing cannabis? And talk about the first time maybe you popped a seed. Do you recall what the first seed you ever popped was?
Yeah, that neighbor again. It was just bag seed. Like, he had collected seeds he'd got from his different, you know, from different stuff. And we didn't know what we were doing. I mean, we were planting stuff directly into the ground in his backyard, and he had some acreage. So we were literally just putting it wherever, and we'd have seedlings pop up. But I don't think we ever saw anything finished once. I mean, back then you tell too many people and you're just bragging about it. You show five friends and then someone comes along and rips it out the ground thinking they're going to, I don't know what they're going to do with that, leaves and stem. But, you know, you live and you learn. Yeah.
So obviously there was a progression to making your own seed. Do you want to talk a little bit about the progression of starting to grow, you know, maybe some shit in the backyard to taking it more serious and some of your first breeding projects?
Yeah, so basically what happened there was, I think as I got, once I got a little bit older and realized that you can't, I mean, literally you show anybody your stuff and it's gone. So I learned to keep my mouth shut. And then once I figured that out, I'd say successfully started growing once I lived on my own. But that wasn't until like really 2006-ish, 2005 that I was really starting to grow and was able to produce, not seeds. I wasn't even growing for seed then. It was just, I was getting some clones off of overgrow. You know, I was growing a strain called Ogre, which is like a Sensi Star phenotype. And then like there was a few others that were really popular back then that we had. But yeah, man, it was literally just a few plants here and there, a 600 watt HPS. And then from there progressed. But it took a while, you know, I mean, I'm not going to lie. I mean, a lot of people, you know, that you started off really slow and small and then it got to where it did, you know, so a few lights here, a few lights there, and eventually got to, I got that same house that I was growing Ogre at and doing the small little 600 watt light. I got in trouble there for some unrelated things and actually went away for a little bit. So once I got out of jail, got medical, got legit, and really started, you know, saying, okay, now it's time to see what I can do. So it started with a little four lighter, and then just, I think every harvest after just, you know, jumped up a couple lights till it was, you know, about 12. And then it was, you know, then I think I met Ken with Granddaddy about, that was like 2000, I want to say like 2009 or so, maybe a little bit right around there, 9 or 10. But met him and then we kind of hit it off, and you know, I knew who he was from the forums and whatnot, but I decided to come on and was just working with him as a rep, and then the seed making didn't come till after that. But it's been a journey, man, thinking back on it now.
Did you learn more from the forums, you think, in the overgrow days, or was it more the neighbor that kind of influenced you to start growing and teach you, or was it like teach yourself with the forums?
Well, it was mostly just trial and error. I mean, like I said, I popped hundreds of seeds back in the day, but not seeing any of them come to fruition was the problem. So once I learned how to, you know, I think I always had a green thumb, so I was able to grow, you know, whatever, but, you know, producing what we had back then to what I can do now is you know, big difference. So sure. It's funny what we would smoke then and what we were okay with and what we were, you know, bragging to our friends about. I'd say it's progressed a lot, but either way, at the end of the day, we all knew what good weed was back then. We were just proud of what we did.
Sure. What was it like working for Ken? I had no idea that you were a rep for him, or initially you obviously would move beans for him and then kind of
saw
the business and said, hey, I think I could do this.
Well, you know, it was, I'm sure I've told you the story, and I know I've mentioned on other podcasts, but yeah, it's basically, it was great working for him. I'm not going to lie. I saw a lot of good stuff. I mean, I learned a lot from it. And those guys, they had for a while there, they had one of the number one brands in medical cannabis. I mean, if anybody in California knew of Granddaddy Genetics and the Granddaddy Perp Collective in Richmond, California, I mean, they had great weed. It wasn't just them producing it. They had good vendors that brought in a lot of good flower. They had good hash, edibles, all that. So all together, I was working for a good team, and I saw how they put it together. They'd have like people waiting in line, and just steadily had a flow of traffic coming through their booths. And I kind of just saw how it was, and you know, I learned a lot from it. But then once things got bad and I decided to go on my own, I realized that I was already making seeds, and I'd already basically been the face behind you know, what was going on with his company for a while there. So I just kind of ran with it. You know, I went and did my own thing, and I didn't know it was going to take off like it did. But, you know, it's, like I said, it's been a blessing. So it's nice to be able to do what you love and be able to pay your bills at the end of the day.
For sure. Those early days in medical, you know, the Wild West of California, if you will, like, that was kind of crazy. I felt like you either got in where you fit in and it worked out well for you, or it was just like a perpetual living hell of like losing money, getting fucked over, like crazy things were happening all the time. But it was a better market, as we've talked about on this podcast before, where people could vend back to the stores. But what your experience in as a whole was probably, if I'm hearing you correctly, was probably a good one in those early days of those Wild West medical shops. Like, you learned a lot. That was your education.
Yeah, dude, there was a lot. I mean, even after that, it was mostly hands-on. I mean, if you're going to do anything, you can read all you want, but that helps. I definitely recommend reading all you can so you have an education. But I mean, it seems like there's so much info out there that no matter what you do, you're going to hear a different opinion, whether it's talking to a friend, reading something online, pick up a book, go online, one way or another, you're gonna find something that kind of conflicts with something someone said along the way. So you got to just pick and choose where you're going to go with it, and then decide a program that you know that you're going to stick to, and then alter it for the better, hopefully, as you go along.
Got you. You've got like a pretty wide catalog of, you know, strains that you made over the past. I don't know the entire like order of them all, but I do know Brandyline was a mega hit for you. What was the first kind of release that you did, or first seed that you put out to the world? And then what was your first mega hit? Was it the Brandyline?
So if we go back, because I mean, technically when I was making stuff for Ken, I feel like we had some pretty good stuff, and Attitude Seed Bank was moving a ton of our gear, and Seedsmen and a lot of those big wholesale shops out of the UK were pushing our stuff, and we were really doing well. And I think that's where the problem came in, was once that money started flowing in, I mean, I was more than a rep at that point. I was making the seeds, but I wasn't really getting paid much. So I'm doing everything and then kind of watching the money flow in, but not really getting to eat. So that's where it kind of turned for the worst. But I mean, it was wild, man. I mean, I think overall, watching all that was cool, but the Candyland was what I released with Ken. The V2, like his original Candyland that won the cup, wasn't even across. They just turned in animal cookies or whatever the forum cut, whatever they had gotten. So they turned that in as Candyland, and then they eventually made seeds by crossing their GDP male to that clone. And then once they lost all those genetics, then I came back through with the forum cut and then redid it for them. And that one, I think you guys probably remember Jimbo the King. I don't know if he still goes by that name or not, but he hit that with Blue Power. He did something, and it was made the Noun later.
Okay.
So that was actually a cut that he found from those seeds I created. Now I don't know if anyone else had any major hits from it, but I just know that, and I don't know if they can differentiate the first release of Candyland versus mine that I made, but one way or another, Candyland was a smash. That was great. And then after that, once I started DVG, I'd say Grandpa's Breath, like you mentioned, the Brandyline. The Grandpa's Breath, Brandyline, there was a couple others. Swamp Thing, Hot Rod, they've done pretty well. All that gassy stuff, which, you know, what people love it, but nowadays it's all about the perp and the gelatos and the different, you know. And I love all that stuff too, but at the same time, like now that I'm on the East Coast, I feel like I see a lot more people out here. They're not so snooty. They don't care as much about it being the color of it. They don't. I mean, it's they still have all the hype strains, you know, but they're just not. It's not a push where it's got to be perp or it's not going to sell type
or
thing.
A Mylar bag or something.
Yeah. Oh yeah. No, it's not even. There's. I mean, people do that. Don't get me wrong, but it's different out here, and it's pretty cool to see.
Talk to me about the Grandpa's Breath, and you did a Grand Slam. For those who don't know, the highest compliment that I could pay is I've used some of your genetics and some of our crosses. We used the Grandpa's Breath, I think, and the Grand Slam in our early lemon line crosses that we did for an extraction line because of how resinous it was. And, it, dude, that was some of the most resinous plants that I had seen at that time. So I was like, extraction, we're going to work on this and add it to some of the lemon. Add some different terps over here, and I just started cooking up. And yeah, I used two or three of your lines, but talk to me about those early Grandpa's Breath and the Grand Slam lines and stuff. Those things had all kinds of flavor for days, and like I say, resin covered. And how did you cook that one up?
So that was basically, when it was 2012 when I first got maybe a little bit before that. I think it was 2012 though when I got my first cookies cuts. I got Animal, the Forum, and OGKB all at the same time. And early on in those days, that was like when it was just starting to really, I mean, the Forum cut had been passed around, you know, so that was like 09. So I was a few years late on that one, but still, it was still, you know, a lot of people didn't have it. They had no access. It took a while for people to start really getting it out there, but the OGKB was special. And that one, there was very few people working with it. I mean, Archive, Gage Green, myself, I mean, I'm sure there was a couple other private people that I'm not naming, but as far as commercial wise and who we all know releasing seeds, you know, there were very few of us that actually had that cut right then and there. And so I felt like I finally had a, you know, something. I had a little jump and opportunity. So hitting that with the GDP, I knew it was going to be special. So, and actually it was the Tahoe OG GDP, excuse me. So yeah, it was the Kins or the East Grand OG, the Kins OG, whatever we want to call it, but it was Tahoe OG times GDP. That mail hit to the OGKB. And then actually the first time I made it, it did not release or it did not produce that many seeds at all. It was very small seed production plants. So once I released the F2s, they were gone immediately. Those things, people loved them. So they made the three other versions of it. So there was four different Grandpa's Breath crosses or releases of the F2 version. And I mean, I saw so many samples along to where people had great plants, and it was, you know, some better than others, obviously, but along the way, from purple to green, I mean, a lot of great stuff was there. So I feel like that was a good one. And I just think that plant itself had a lot of frost. And so any male that I used from that Grandpa's Breath line that we crossed into, you know, whether it be the that pink champagne, which made the brandy wine, or my American Pie, which made the Grand Slam, all those plants were great, and they all turned out like highly resinous and yeah, in some cases very nice flavor. So I mean, overall, that was one of those ones. I think what I should have done was carry on those lines, and instead I started chasing the hype like many other people do and looking for other clones. And it's like I should have done what Serious Seeds did and just stuck to my four or five great ones and just stuck with that for years and made F2, F3, F4, and then I'd have been fine. But, you know, with the market and everything, we kind of have to give people what they want. And I noticed that there was a lot of people that were after certain things, and it's like you just got to, you know, it's not all about what you want, but you need to do things that, you know, people are looking for. And so I kind of went a different direction. But now, you know, we're going back that way. I'm gonna feminize the Grandpa's Breath. That's gonna be one of the next things I'm doing out here. So
nice. Yeah. Talk to me about the Brandywine. Obviously, it was a big hit. Correct me if I'm wrong, but wasn't there some phenos found with really high levels of CBD in there also? Wasn't it a very medicinal strain?
No, you know what? I think some people confuse it with cherry wine.
Okay, there you go. My
Yeah,
bad.
there may have been, I think cherry wine, and there may have been one other one that was put out there with a wine name, and I think they were specifically CBD plants. So now I will say that in the Grandpa's Breath line, it was crazy because I did not breed those for any CBD whatsoever. There was never any CBD plant introduced. That wasn't my focus at all. But we had seen a couple of the analytics come back where there was upwards of 2%, 2% plus CBD in some of them. So, I mean, even for someone that's just looking for just a little bit to add on to their to a THC plant, I mean, that's great. I mean, 2% of anything is, I mean, I don't know if it's totally that noticeable, you know, when you're smoking a high THC strain, but any at all is good to see on paper. So, that was promising. And I believe Brandywine did. There were a few times where I saw a little bit like that as well, but again, it was never like above, I wouldn't say above 2% that I saw in anything, but
Gotcha.
still great plants altogether. I mean, it won first place cup twice, once in Colorado at that Dude Grows Cup, and then I think it was the week before or the week after that it won in Seattle.
Nice.
So, yeah.
That strain itself, particularly has like a more of a unique flavor than almost anything I've ever kind of tasted. It's weird. I don't want to call it licorice because it's not licorice, but it's got this. Brandywine is a good name for it because it's almost like a wine, but I don't know. Can you describe the terps for somebody who's never maybe even heard or tried Brandywine?
I'd say you're on the right path with what you're describing it as. I wish I could pull up the if I was more prepared or thought about it, I would have had them right here so I could kind of name off what some of those stronger terpenes that are in it. I'm guaranteeing there's of course there's some myrcene in there, which some people are like boring, but you know it works. You know it's one of those strains that or one of those you know smells. It's popular and it's in a lot of them, but it's good. I would say that there is like a wine, kind of a grape jelly wine thing going on in some, and then if you can find one that's similar to the mom, that pink champagne smell is present in some of those phenotypes, and you will definitely get them. And the one that won at the Dude Grows Cup was spot on to the mother plant, and I mean it was almost identical, and that's why I knew it was mine, because I've never been anywhere where I've smelt that same smell anywhere. It's very unique to me. So, for instance, I mean, there's so many times where I'll crack a jar, and I'm sure you have the same feeling where you crack, like, oh, that smells just like this. Well, you can't say that with pink champagne. It's such a different, you know, such a unique aroma to me. It's very, very different, and I wish there was more of it around. I mean, I guess there's some guy named Champelli or something on Instagram, and he claims to be the pink champagne guy. I don't know if he is saying he bred it, if it's just another marketing thing like Runtz and all these other guys. But if he has it, great. But he says I don't have it. I have never had it. But I mean, I've never met the guy. It's one of those things like I don't know how you could say that. I mean, it came from the Bay Area and was very, very popular, and it was given to Ken, and then once they renamed it Phantom, a ton of people knew what that strain was, and it was popular for a while. And then once Cookies took over, I feel like it kind of got pushed to the side. But I mean, Brandywine is, I think that's another one. That's one that I need to bring back, but it's one of those ones that's popular for a good reason. You know, if you have packs of, I'd say pop them, there's something good in there for everybody. But from caramel smells to the sweet, like you said, like a licorice, there's that winey kind of a smell going on. But overall, it's different, and I like that because it's not where you go, oh, it smells just like gelato, or it smells just like this or that. It's kind of in its own league, you know. So if you like it, you like it, but if you don't, I understand. But I think it's one of those flavors I think a lot of people could really enjoy if they gave it a try.
What about some of your newer stuff? We've been talking about some of your hits. I know you've been
Yeah.
working for years. What are the newer stuff people should be trying to cop that you've been working on lately, stuff that's got you excited?
Man, I just finished up some of these new ones I'm really excited about. So it took me a minute. I made a bunch of crosses with my purple gelato. So I have my keeper cut of my purple gelato. I've made crosses with that where I used a male and hit that to some stuff. Then I've also used the male and made a ton of stuff. And then I've kind of been sitting on it for, I mean, it's been like almost 2 years now, or maybe, you know. And I wasn't really in a huge hurry But it, what it really comes down to is testing. And I can't, I wasn't in a place where I could be testing hundreds and hundreds of plants without jeopardizing myself. And I'm just not going to risk anything like that. So, and then as the case with many other people, I found when you put your seeds in other people's hands and you're counting on them to test for you and give you feedback and follow through with what they said they're going to do, no offense to anybody, because it's your plants that you're spending money to do it. But there is kind of a verbal agreement going on there, or written, where we kind of discuss what's going to happen. And then when I don't receive any sort of feedback after your grow, and then I see you're offering seeds made from those testers, or you just never did anything with them, it doesn't really do me any good. It's like, well, I'm glad you grew them, or you didn't grow them. It didn't really do much, do me any favor. But you know, you can't twist someone's arm. So once it's out of your hands, it's out of your hands. But I'd say the Calypso cooler that I just did was it's a Purple Punch Gelato 41 crossed to the Purple Gelato. That one came out. That was really special. Like imagine like kind of like a melon haichu thing going on. There's a lot of really terpy plants that I feel like the solventless guys, if they wash well, that is, could be some real good hits. The Hot Tropic, that was a the White Hot Guava from Clearwater, crossed to my Tropical Flame, which is the Forbidden Fruit Hot Rod. And that everything from that Tropical Flame line that we've seen has been pretty nice, especially the flower itself. The Tropical Flame on its own was great, but then the males, now that we're seeing what they do and what they're putting out, we're pretty excited with what's going on there. So I'd say any of these new drops I'm putting out, if you follow me, if you've messed with my seeds before, I'd say give them a try, man. There's some good ones in there for sure. But obviously, my Purple Gelato, that's been one of my favorites. So it's another one. If you have them, pop them. Because I think that, I don't know if anyone has any in stock anymore.
Got you. So you're a brother of the road, man. Now you're at every other trade show that we do. And for years, you know, a lot of these guys don't actually hit the road. They never venture out of their own city. It's like I see you all over America. We've been doing it for years. The trade show scene has kind of changed. It seems to be a lot of clones and the trade shows aren't quite as good as they once were. Or, I mean, I know we went through the whole pandemic shit or whatever, but you come out the other side and it's like, what is your thoughts on trade shows? We have pretty much backed way off and are not really doing but a fraction of what we once did. Are you still hitting the road as hard as we once were, or are you kind of backed off and selectively choosing your shows?
Man, it's funny you brought that. I was wondering what we were going to talk about, and I was going to say this is something I wanted to touch on. Yes and no to both those. So basically where I'm at with it is, since Instagram has decided to play their game and it's made it so hard for us to do anything, like I literally can go on right now and see some girl's pussy, but I can't post a picture of my fucking plant without getting flagged and deleted for posting nudity or harassment, bullying when I post a picture of a plant. So I'm like, are you fucking kidding me right now? So at this point, it's almost worthless. I mean, what we get from Instagram is great because it's free. We're getting good feedback from the people that do follow us and the people that do see our stories and the people that are, you know, engaging with us. But I feel like we're missing out on so much by this algorithm and what they're doing that it's hard. So yes, I'm hitting trade shows, but no, they're not going that well. And I mean, since the pandemic, I'd say when we all saw each other before and it was all like, you know, I mean, I don't mean to brag, and I don't take this the wrong way to anyone out there, but at the end of a show, we'd all get together, we'd have a great dinner, we'd all, you know, party like, we'd party like rock stars, and that doesn't mean we made hundreds of thousands of dollars. It's not, we're near what we were doing, but it's just a matter of getting together with the boys and having a, hey guys, we did enough, we made our money back from the booth, plus some, we had a great time, we sold some seeds, we shook some hands, it was a great experience, let's move on to the next show. Now, like you said, it's there's Trademark Chad on every corner. There's this typical, you know, you got your CBD guys, you got your clone companies. There's a little bit of everything. And then you still see some of the original players, like we, you know, guys like you and I are still there. But what I'm seeing is there's this draw to specific genetics. And I've touched on it before, and I sound like a hater when I do it, but it's literally, if you're not breeding with like cookies on cookies on cookies on cookies, then you don't really have what's hip. You know, you're not the five star banquet. Now you're just you're McDonald's. Why other guys are there? They think they're eating Wagyu while they're growing cheetah piss times whatever, and that's fine. I mean, there's good strains out there that I've seen those guys produce. I'm not hating on their strains, but I just think it's like, at what point are we going to go back to the drawing board and try and find something that's different than the other people? Let's just let our nose do the, you know, choice for us. You know, like, follow your nose. I feel like if you smell something that's great, doesn't matter what color it is, doesn't matter what name it is, you're probably gonna like it.
I agree with that. I agree about everything you said. I would say, I recall when you were doing a crazy promotion, really smart. I actually want to copy it. I may still copy it someday. But you were doing the free seed pack a day on Instagram with the hashtag.
Oh, yeah.
You had the number one, not number one, but you had one of the trending hashtags, I think, on all of Instagram. And that promotion went crazy. You shot your count up to 120,000 quickly. I mean, it was a long burn for you, but at the same time, when you started doing that promotion, I feel like, man, you started getting serious traction, but it also probably got you canceled off Instagram also. But yeah, talk to me about that promotion in particular. I'm just curious.
Yeah, so literally we all sit around, we think, what can we do to promote our brand? What can we do to make people, you know, follow us, be happy with us, talk to us, tell people all about us, whatever, you know? There's different ways to do it. You can give away stuff every day and you might get some followers back, you might get some good feedback, but I feel like once you get something that people are excited about and they're waiting for it and it's happening every single day, it's not just a once a month thing, or when they see with the show, you know, hey, spin the wheel for your chance to win a prize. I feel like there's a lot of gimmicks involved with that. And while they're all meant to be fun and whatever, I think some things are just a little bit more worthwhile than others. So when you literally are able to put, all you got to do is comment on a post and you're able to win a free pack of seeds, I'd say that's pretty easy to do, and we all do it all day anyway. So it's a great, I mean, it was an idea that came to my head, and I thought it would work, and it blew up. Got my wife pissed off me pretty bad, because I literally was doing it during the birth of my first son. So didn't win any points with that, but it was a great time. And again, it goes back to the I feel like it's like, are we literally, it's like 3 years ago now, we're going to be talking like, those were the good old days. It's like, that's sad, dude. It's like, things have changed so much. And it's literally before COVID, things were crazy. And then after COVID, well, during COVID, you know, when we were all sitting at home, everyone's spending money and government checks like crazy. It was pretty fun too. But then it kind of got to where it's now, it's bad, dude. And it's weird. Like, I still feel like back to your original question on the trade show thing, I still am trying to go, because with Instagram shutting me down, I want to be present. So I'm trying to get out there and be anywhere I can right now. But yeah, doing things like that free pack seed giveaway and doing like my Build-A-Box, anything I can do to try and get people talking about me, that's just the way to go, man. I mean, literally, like, Your logo in the background right now, like, people see that, they know it, they're used to seeing it. Same with my DVG thing. It's like, once you get so used to seeing something, you'll know that person, and it's like, that's like my way of getting back at Instagram. I mean, if it costs me a few grand every so often, I got to go run and do these shows, I'll do it, because eventually here I'll be shaking hands with the right people. Hopefully it won't be another Glass House Farms. I'm not going to be like a JB's or anything, but you know, I'll definitely would not mind working with some people and potentially, you know, signing on another wholesale seed bank or something, you know, and those are the kind of people you run into.
That's a question I have for you, just because I'm just curious, because you've been around a long time, just like I've been around a long time. And sometimes I ask myself, am I so jaded now that I turn down those good opportunities? When you're at a trade show and somebody walks up and they say, hey, I really want to take you to lunch, I want to talk to you about something or whatever. It's like, you've been through so many bullshit fucking situations, offers, opportunities or whatever, where it's all of a sudden, it's like, you start not trusting anybody. And then you realize, like, man, there's real good, legitimate offers in here to work with some good people. But at some point, like, I've just become the most jaded motherfucker, and it's hard to break through, like, the thick skinness of what I've built up, from everything from approaching me with an idea to a collab to anything else. It's like, man, I feel like I might be shooting myself in the foot by not necessarily I don't know, putting that wall up instead of there's no filter. None of the good shit is getting through. Is, you know, I'm just blocking it all. But how do you kind of approach that?
Man, I feel like it's almost like a double-edged sword, bro. Because you have, there's potentially great opportunities that you could be missing out on. I feel like every time you meet somebody, you have no idea who you're meeting. I mean, totally. It goes back to that. Don't judge a book by its cover, because every single person that come by, just you could look at the guy and be like, who's this guy? You have no idea. Could look like a totally nice gentleman, could look like an asshole. It doesn't matter. He could come up and be the next guy that's going to spend a ton of money with you. He might be like, you know, we're starting a farm. We're looking to do all seeds, or, you know what, that'd be great. Probably won't happen, but they could be the next opportunity that's going to be something good for you. And I feel like that's what I'm there for, and that's what I'm trying to, you know, hoping, you know, it's a gamble, but I'm hoping that'll happen one of these days. And then the other part of it is you get these handshakes, you get these people, they start talking to you, you start spending time on the phone, and then you start realizing, man, this guy calls me all the time, we're talking all the time, they're sending me, hey, we're doing this, we're gonna do that, blah, 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 and then you realize how full of shit they are.
Yep.
And nothing ever happens. You're like, I literally have wasted, I mean, how many hours of my life and typing up emails and talking on the phone and all explaining things. I mean, basically consulting, like, for a guy. I mean, I've done that before, and I feel like I was like, I just got conned. I basically helped this guy design his warehouse, helped him, like, with everything up to the point of, like, you know, basically hand him over genetics almost, and then to all have it go nowhere. And I'm like, wow, what a joke. And then, so there's been, that's happened so many times that it's, to me, I'm like, okay, so I always approach things like, okay, I'll hear the person out. You know, I'm definitely down to hear things, but it's kind of like the guy that comes by and he's like, oh, hey, Dark Horse, hey, I love your stuff. Oh, I'm going to add you to my seed bank. Let me get a card, and what's your minimum order? Great, that's perfect for me. Okay, great, I'll be in touch. And then you never hear from the guy. Like, okay, cool, no big deal. You're not forced to buy my stuff, but at the same time, I don't want to waste anyone's time, and I don't want to have my time wasted. It's valuable. And you and I both know, I mean, I'm in the garden so much now that it's I don't have a life. So for me to get out at all and go out to lunch with someone or hear another, okay, so here's my spiel. It's gotta be good. It's gotta be something that, you know, because I've at this point I've heard it all and I've seen it all, and I really feel like every opportunity is potentially good, but there's a lot that you just kind of wish there was a better way to fish them out, you know.
Completely, I completely agree. Yeah. It's weird because there's huge money in here, but like huge money never seems to want to mess with guys like us. It seems to have like the weirdest head grower that has no experience. It's like the brother-in-law of someone's fucking cousin. And it's like,
yeah,
what the fuck is going on in this industry? There's huge money. There's billions spent. But really none of it was spent in the right fucking places sometimes, it feels like. Or at least invested in the right places sometimes. But yeah.
No, I've been there too. I was a head grower for a place in Seattle, and it was while it was fun, and it was an experience like everything else. It was like I'm driving an hour to work, driving back an hour and a half in traffic, and I'm dealing with a farm that is clueless, and everything I'm saying is just like talking a brick wall. It's like nothing sticks. It's just like it was all bad, dude. So I was like, at the end of the day, I left thinking, okay, I made money off this. You know, I guess I, you know, got some warehouse experience, you know, which I hadn't had, you know, so that's a plus. But overall, a lot of those big corporations and these big giant companies, they want to get guys. Like, the reason they have those people is because you can screw over a family member pretty easily and not really they can turn your back on you, and it's whatever, you know. There might be a lawsuit, but probably not. I feel like guys like us come on board, they literally use us for everything they possibly can, and then at the end of the day go, hey, you know, that whole contract we signed, there's no way I'm gonna be able to pay you that. I, with everything going on, there's just no way. It's like, you knew that from the start, but I don't know why we just bullshitted each other, and here I am still. It's like, so I don't know. That's another thing, dude. Licensing deals and all these different things that can, you know, potentially you can do with these seed deals and to growing for people. It's all, you know, there's just a lot of, you know, it's opportunity, but, you know, it's signing up with the right people. There's a, you know, good and bad, as we are seeing very recently unfold with people who they choose to work with.
I guess my next question would be, what's next for you? You kind of mentioned you want to go back and work some of those lines, but what's the future of Dungeon Vault Genetics look like? Seen you bounce around the country a little bit. We've almost fucked this interview up because I thought you were in Cali. Yeah, at one point you were in Cali, but yeah, I gave you some Cali time to do the interview. It turns out you're on the East Coast, but
it's all good.
What's the future looking like for Dungeon Vault?
So we're out here in Maine, staying in Maine for a while. I'm liking it out here. We'll see what happens, but I think I'll stay here for a while. But I think I'm hitting shows. There's a few coming up that are local, like in Inican, and then I'm doing a couple things in Boston, the Freedom Rally. Oh, you've been out there. We were next to each other that one year.
Oh yeah. It was big.
Yeah. So you never know. I mean, I don't know how you did out there, but I felt like it's one of those things.
That's the weirdest show ever.
Yeah, really, you never know, dude. So we'll see what happens with it. But overall, I think I'll be doing that. But, I mean, Feminized Seeds, man, I've been slacking. I mean, I've told myself for years I wasn't going to mess with them, but you can only turn down so many deals before you're like, wow, I really shot myself in the foot on that one, because I've outsourced seeds for people and helped people, you know, get auto flowers and feminized seeds for their gardens. And I'm like, I could have put 100% of that money in my pocket rather than 2% or 5% or whatever my finder's fee was. You know, it's like, Jesus, dude. So with that being said, yeah, feminized seeds from DVG will be coming. That's going to be the first thing I'm doing coming up here. I told myself I'm not making any new seeds here until I get everything tested that I've already had. But feminized is different. That's something that's been needing to happen, and I think that's what the Euro market demands. And, you know, just like when we were in Spanibus, it's like that's something that I think if you don't bring feminized or autos to Spain, you're probably not going to do well.
Yeah, you won't. Right on. So. Yeah, speaking of Freedom Rally, I just want to touch on it. Like, that is the strangest show of all time. It's basically on a college campus in one of the oldest, like, parks in America, like, national, like, history piece of whatever, something, like preserve, whatever, park in American history. And then they throw this crazy event that's free, and it probably attracts 100,000 people smoking joints in this park. And I would say of them, 1% are there to buy seeds. So it's like this weird fucking thing where you're almost just watching your table more than selling anything. It's like there's a lot of drunk people coming up fucking trying to swipe shit off the table and everything else. But your booth in particular is one of the best booths always. You usually come with your flower. You've got your setup. You got your whole display, your brochures. Like, the way you set yourself up is very professional. But at a Freedom Rally type show, dude, they'll steal everything off your table if you're not paying attention.
Yeah, so I got friends coming with me, but it's one of those things, like, I don't know, bro. It's I haven't been for a couple of years, so we'll see. But like you said, when you're going to those big of events, it's not like a seed bazaar or like the pop-ups. You know, it's very specific. You know, one of those is very specific to the genetic side of things, and there's not as many tire kickers. People are buying the tickets to come get seeds and or clones, whereas these guys are just coming to, like you said, party in the park, smoke a joint. There could be homeless guys walking up. I mean, whatever. But, totally. I mean, Boston is so badass that I think just for me anyway, getting down there, and that's – I love being so close to that area. I don't know how you feel about the East Coast. I love Colorado,
Boston,
as well.
Boston's one of my favorite cities of all time. Shout out to Strega, one of my favorite restaurants ever, doing the Boston Commons. Like, yeah, every time we go there, I'm not really a drinker, but we end up, you know, sipping some drinks and wandering around the city, and it's like one of the colonial cities of America. I love that place.
Bro, it's just a ton of history, and just it's crazy to think about. Like, we're walking where our forefathers were, man. So it's if you're a history buff, or even if you just like, I mean, just anything for that. I mean, just old stuff. It's pretty cool. So, yeah, I love it. So, yeah, we'll do that. And then, I don't know, man. It's for me, I feel like Instagram is pretty much is kind of like a just sort of dead to me. I mean, I'm on there. I'm doing what I can. But I feel like at this point, it's going to be me just trying to use it to promote whatever's next. So just check out my website. Go to my Discord once I learn how to use that, because I'm literally so old I can't even figure out how to fucking use a Discord. I don't get it.
Right there with you.
I literally need like help. there's you know, whatever I can do, Twitter, I mean, all the different ways I can get on and do something, I'm going to. And that website, man, I need an update. Holy
really?
Shit.
I was going to ask you who did this because I kind of like it. And I was like,
no,
I
it's
might
cool,
need,
but
I might need to hire you a web designer.
Yeah, no, he's cool. I can give you his info, but there's just a lot of stuff on there we need to fix. So, like, for instance, Supreme Cream, that's one that hasn't been dropped. That's what I dropped a while back. So,
I was going to say, here's the site. Everybody go check it out. We have it on screen right now for those who are only audio only. But, yeah, go check out the site for sure. Do you have direct sales on here or point people to C-Banks that carry
it? Oh, yeah. No, we can do them. It's basically like once you get something in the in your cart, it's an email me payment options type of thing, and then we go from there.
Nice. Okay, yeah, you got some merch too. Looks like when you have it.
Yeah, it's all out of stock right now, but I got shirts and hats coming back here shortly.
Totally, yeah, they're all fire stuff or whatever. I mean, this stuff is all good. Like I say, I vouch for all this stuff. If you guys don't know Dungeon Vault Genetics, you should go check it out for sure. It's like I say, stuff I've used in my work, which is the highest compliment that I can give.
That's dope.
But yeah, I guess before we get out of here, I'll give you the last word. Is there anything we forgot? Anything you want to shout out? Anything you want to talk about?
No, man. I think we covered it. Like I said, I appreciate you having me on. It's always good to talk to you, bro. I see totally off subject from what we've got going on. I see Caesar doing his thing. That's always cool.
Yes, sir. Caesar started his little thing. Shout out Caesar. He's in New York City right now. Probably in the chat moderating this one. But yeah, Caesar just did a little spritzer run there. So yeah, things are happening.
Yeah. But other than that, bro, no, I don't know when I'll see you next, but definitely we'll link up soon. But yeah, like I said, appreciate you having me on. And yeah, like if anyone's curious, the new stuff will be on Neptune's website here shortly, on my website, and then there's a company called North Atlantic Seeds. They'll be selling my new stuff as well. So if you guys are into the new drop at all, send an email, hit me up on Instagram, or look at those guys' websites for the drop coming soon.
Cool. Perfect. Thanks for coming on, bro. Really appreciate your time.
Right on. Thanks a lot, man.
Absolutely. That's Dungeon Vault. Thanks, Eric, for doing the show. Say he's a really good breeder. He's been around for a long time. Stuff is really good. So thank you, Eric, for coming on the program. All right. So let's talk real quick. The auction. Last week we did an auction. Everybody should either have a tracking number or I should have talked to everybody. There's a few people that need some time to pay, which we sorted out. But yeah, I think everyone should have an auction number except for the people that got or our tracking number, except for the people that did Caesar stuff. He's in New York till next week. So, you should have a tracking number, but his will ship next week. But either way, that stuff should be caught up. If not, send me an email, darkhorsecustomerservice@gmail.com, and we'll get it sorted out for you. And with that said, let's go to something that's going on. Free shit. It's free! So, I have some news. I really don't know if Daz wants me to do this. Probably doesn't. I think he might have made a post about it, but Daz is sick as fuck. Daz got COVID, and he's like not doing super hot with it, so it's definitely kicking his ass. I think he's on the mend now, so he's definitely not going to die or anything crazy, but... yeah, he definitely took a bad bout of COVID, and like I say, it's delayed his work back in Denver, but I need Daz to get better because, I need his help. So the way we're going to do this is I believe in the power of positive energy, power of positive thought. We're doing some hoodoo shit, basically, right now. But what I want to do to win this pack, let's do this, the Gamma Berry. Bruce Banner number 5 to Strawberry Diesel, Gamma Berry, regular seeds. 6 of them. I will send them to you. The way I'm going to pick the winner this week is you have to go to one of Daz's Instagrams. I don't know them off the top of my head. It's like daz.nightowl, nightowlseeds, nightowl.seeds, something like that. If you know them, throw them in the chat. Any one of them. I don't care which one it is. He's got like 2 or 3 of them. If you go to one, whatever the first post is that you see on there at this very moment, you have to go in there and you have to say, what the fuck should we say? Get fucking better, Daz. Get fucking better Daz. Okay, we need to blow those comments up real quick so he gets overwhelmed by the power of positivity and miraculously gets better and ends his quarantine and gets the fuck back to work. All right, everybody, so that's how you win free shit. I'll pick three winners. I have a lot of these. I'll pick three winners, okay? One off each one of his IG pages. Good luck. Go to his IG, blow it up with comments. I'll pick a winner next week. We'll tell you who it is. As far as free shit on this show, I believe I'm caught up with everything. If you won something on this show, no, I have a tracking number, please hit me up in the email on the bottom of your screen, darkhorsegeneticslive@gmail.com. If I'm off on my free shit, then somebody please hit me up. If you won something and you don't have a tracking number, please let me know. But as far as I know, we're super caught up right now, so feeling pretty good about it. All right. What the fuck else do we got? I think that's a wrap for this week. So, episode 105 is in the can. Once again, thanks to Dungeon Vault. Shout out Caesar, who's not here in New York City. I think he said I'm in the chat. And, I don't know. Go get C-Bizarre Premium. If Caesar was here, he'd tell you C-Bizarre Premium, C-Bizarre Premium, C-Bizarre Premium. All right, everybody. With that said, same bat time, same bat channel. Enjoy the soulful sounds. Stone Ninja. Peace.
Little pale gay fish, come sit on my shoulder today. Little gay parrot fish, sit on my shoulder today and make me a fried shrimpy dish with some soy sauce, baby.
And as the beat drops,
super, super fries, super fried egg roll, triple fry, fry rice, triple fry rice, baby. 2-for-1 egg roll, super triple fried rice, triple fried rice, baby. Don't forget the soy sauce, chan chan chan.
There's my gay fish song, dudes. What?